Alex. This is the latest entry in the Diary of Doom as we look back on the rich history of doom metal and its sister sounds based on the recounted tales of its followers. Every week, we will have a different guest to spin their yarn. You can follow us on Instagram at Diary of Doom. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Diary of Doom. Follow the podcast over at diaryofdoom.podbean.com and subscribe and listen to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. And if you have a question or anything like that, or if you need to know my current status during the coronavirus outbreak, you can reach us at diaryofdoom1968@gmail.com. And with that timely joke out of the way, I will introduce our guests. We have out of Virginia, Book of Worms. We have Sarah and Jay, who are both in the band. Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Hello. Thank you so much for having us on.
We were originally scheduled for Monday, and unfortunately, Sarah had a bit of a migraine, so we just popped over to this day. And wow, it's been a crazy 2 days since Monday.
Yeah. No, it really has. Thank you so much for being cool with the postponing. Or whatever.
There's so much more to talk about.
I mean, are you, so like you guys are down in Virginia. Is it, I'm up in New Jersey, pretty close to the city. And obviously we're talking about COVID-19 before we get into the rest of the podcast, but what's it like down by you guys?
It definitely doesn't seem as crazy as what we're seeing in other places, but we, you know, we're starting to get our first reports of people with it. And then, Sarah went to the grocery store earlier and she said it was pretty crazy. So I guess people are starting to wig out a little bit at my work. We're starting to look at, you know, who can work from home and non-essential tasks and all kinds of weird terms like that. So I don't know. I guess it's starting to get serious.
Yeah, it's weird. Like my girlfriend's working from home and I haven't gotten the go ahead yet myself. So, thank God I have a lot of podcasts and photos to edit.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, that'll keep you busy. You'll have some stuff to do while you're hunkering down.
Yeah. We were supposed to go to a bunch of shows next week, and it's just not looking like it's in the cards. So many things have been canceled already.
Yeah.
I know. We're worried about our show next weekend. I guess we don't know if it's going to be still going on or what. It's in town here.
Yeah, there's no danger of it being more than 200 people or anything like that. But I mean, as people are getting more and more cautious, you know, stuff just is getting canceled. So everybody in the music community is just kind of playing it by ear right now.
Yeah, that's my entire Instagram feed. You know, it's just cancellation after cancellation. It's really rough to see because there's a lot of people that are going to be out, a lot of business that this was going to be like. I mean, there was a lot of big tours going on. I mean, like Decibel Tour was one in mind like that we were going to, and that's canceled. And yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and you think about all the like not just the musicians, but like all of the sound techs and. Even the food vendors, like, this is, you know, the weather just started, like, turning. This is when everybody was going to make their money for the year. And I don't know. There's a lot of people, like, had gigs lined up that aren't happening now. I know people who had European tours that are just completely called off now. It sucks.
And some of those people are trapped in Europe, which really sucks.
That would really suck. I mean, Europe's awful. Cool, but being stuck away from home would be pretty bad.
We'll move on from that and into your guys's project. So to go, you know, to a time that predates coronavirus, what were your earliest experiences with music?
Well, I'll answer that for a minute. I had my first experiences were in church choir, just singing in front of the congregation in our. We always hated these little robes that they made us wear, but it was pretty it was pretty fun, but it was pretty magical. I knew even then that's what I wanted to do.
Well, it was like your druid robes. They were getting you ready. You just weren't ready yet.
It was a pre-druid robe.
I wish they had had some sort of cloak to go with it, something fun to go with it. I don't know.
Maybe. But
what about you, Jay?
My parents and my grandparents, for them, it was really important like to be cultured, I guess. So they used to drag me to the symphony when I was really little, and like, you know, I hated going, but I would be pretty hypnotized by the music and figuring out which sounds were coming from which instruments and everything. And so, I mean, I've always been pretty obsessed with how music got made. As far as performing, I didn't really perform until high school and in bands. I didn't have any like formal performance experience before that. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else I would do now.
Is that when you, like, when you were working in your high school band, or working when you were in your high school bands, is that when you were, like, knew you wanted to be part of a scene, you know, like be a bigger part of it?
I was in Virginia Beach, so I didn't know there was such a thing as a scene. Like, it was just kind of, you know, you and the friends you knew, and then I guess whatever national acts were coming through. It wasn't, you know, like if there was a subculture going on, I didn't know about it until I moved to Richmond after high school. You know, when you finally get like that critical mass of creative people and get like a real, what you would call a scene going. And even then, I didn't really think it was something like that I could be a part of. That wasn't really until later. And it was just like, all right, I'm pretty happy with how I play. Let's see if I can get out there and, you know, do this with people. So, yeah, for me, I guess late bloomer.
That's all good. So what were, like, you know, both of you, what were your favorite bands growing up? And I'm not sure where you grew up in Virginia, Sarah, but did you guys have, like, local favorites and, you know, bigger favorites? And, like, did you have, like, local venues that you would hit up?
Well, I am from Richmond, which where we live now. And so I was lucky to be able to be around the scene in the 90s, you know, mid 90s, late 90s. I mean, I couldn't go to like any 18 and up or 21 and up shows, but I was like following what was going on. We had like these local magazines, Punchline and things like that, that would show you like what was going on around the city. So I was always really drawn to like being a part of the city. And then in 2010, I started my own music blog about Richmond and the music Richmond has to offer. And I had it for about 5 years, and it was really cool. I really enjoyed getting to know more people around in the scene and just really delving into it like that. It was really cool.
I don't really know much about Virginia, so I don't know I don't really know what the local scene would have been like at the time.
Well, so everybody in Richmond has some sort of connection to GWAR because they're from
here. Ah, of course.
And so even like back in high school, I had a friend who was obsessed with the band, and we everybody just knew somebody that was involved within it. It was just really a fun scene.
Yeah, I was in Virginia Beach, which is like 100 miles away, and GWAR was my introduction to metal, just because that's who everybody. You know, that, I mean, they're the big Virginia metal band, and like that's what I knew about Richmond, which is where I moved eventually, and was that GWAR had gone to VCU, and I was like, well, yeah, man, that's where I'm gonna go if like that's where GWAR formed. So I guess when you're talking about 90s, it's that, and then also like the band Avail was, you know, really huge at that time. So. But I was down in Virginia Beach, so I don't know, like I said, I was kind of sheltered from all of that and just kind of knew about whatever national acts were coming through at that time.
It's funny you mentioned that. I saw GWAR back in high school, and it's still probably one of my favorite shows that I've ever seen, honestly. It was a real good time.
Yeah, they're really good. We're both really lucky. We got to see them a couple of times before Dave passed. Definitely a really good shows. And Sarah actually got to interview Odorous at one of the barbecues, which was pretty awesome.
Oh, nice.
That was really fun.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, that was really fun. It was just, he was a really good, very personable.
He covered his phallus with a towel. You know, he's got that phallus fish. He covered it with a towel because he's a gentleman to her.
It was very gentlemanly.
That's really funny. So when did you guys start to, like, kind of look a little bit more towards psych rock, doom metal, that kind of stuff. Was there a certain record or band that kind of led you in that direction?
Yeah, the usual one, Black Sabbath, and like
right.
on most things, you know, I'll admit to being a late bloomer, but thankfully, you know, Black Sabbath is huge, and I loved them since I was a little kid, and I didn't even know that there was this doom revival or whatever you want to call it, stoner rock. I wasn't aware of any of that because it wasn't, you know, out there enough for where I was, but I thought it would be really cool to be in a band that sounded like Black Sabbath, and I didn't understand why nobody was doing that. And then later I found, I found out about I Hate God when they did that tour with the White Zombie and Pantera in the 90s. So I heard about them and I was like, oh, this is, you know, this is pretty cool. And so I don't know. I always had an interest in sounding like that.
Yeah. I always liked kind of grunge and of things that now we can like kind of look back and they're like, oh, there's maybe that's some proto doom or whatever, but like Soundgarden and that kind of thing. But I think Uncle Acid was really one of the most like relevant like current bands that was like, it made us like it was helpful, and it just made us want to try something sounding like that.
I love Uncle Acid. I've seen them like a shitload of times now, and they always kick ass.
Oh wow, you're really lucky. That's awesome.
Yeah, they're one of my favorites. You know, what just like kind of any time they roll through, we try to go see them because it's just always a consistently good show. I could definitely see how they would like play influence, because I feel like Book of Worms is more of a psychedelic feel than that kind of like really slow churning like doom vibe you normally hear, a little bit more like Lucifer. Were those, and you said like obviously like Black Sabbath was like a big influence, were there any other inspirations when you were putting the band together?
Hawkwind, like we a whole lot, and Soundgarden, I think she mentioned earlier, is like a big one. We both love the Melvins. I don't know if we sound like them at all, but like, you know, they have this weird musical sense of humor. It's like a really weird thing that we admire, I guess. Yeah, those are probably the main ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Now, obviously you're both in the band and you're married. What's that like? Do you guys ever have fights over like time signatures and like coming in and missing a beat or something?
Never over anything musical like that. Like we both kind of stay in our lanes. I would never tell her what to sing. I've had a couple ideas for like, hey, this is a kind of neat phrase, do you want to use this phrase? But like what she sings and how she sings it is totally her business, and she doesn't tell me how to play bass or anything like that. So the whole band gets along really well, musically speaking, like, and otherwise as well. But, you know, musically, we don't even really talk. We just kind of do it and it happens.
It's weird, though. I mean, we do have like our married relationship, and then we kind of like set that aside almost when we're playing with the band. Like, we're not trying to like play favorites or like team up against like the other guys or whatever ever. If we have suggestions or questions, we bring it to the table. And if we try any idea, no matter like if we don't like the idea or not, like we try it, and if it's not good, then we don't go with it, you know. But we don't like try not to like hurt each other's feelings or like, you know, do anything that's gonna not really like help the creative process.
As far as like, yeah, being out on the road and stuff like that, we try to, one, we try not to be too coupley, but two, it's not really a coupley time. There's no sitting and holding hands or whatever. You're trying to find where you're going or looking for a bathroom or like trying to find pizza. So, you know, definitely like the experience when we're out on the road like that, it's like more like the four of us doing our thing. And then when we get back home, even though, yeah, I've been out on the road with her, you're like, you're back to like hanging out like a couple, which you haven't done in however many days.
I that's really interesting insight. Like I think about that, like when people are, you know, partners or couples, married, whatever it is, and they're in a band together. I always assume that it's like stressful.
Potentially
stressful.
But I can't imagine what it would be like not work in a band with him. Like,
yeah.
I guess like he's had a band, he's been in other bands, like with other people and everything, but I've never really been, I've had like small bands that actually didn't really like, to go anywhere or do anything or play anywhere. But this is my actual like first band that I've been in. And I guess I can't even imagine what it would be like without him. And so it's pretty cool. Actually, I'm really lucky.
That's really sweet, in my opinion.
That was pretty awesome.
Well, another thing that I think is cool about Bookworms is that you've incorporated keys and synthesizers into your music. That's not something that is always present in doom music. It's usually just like vocals, guitar, bass, and drums, or sometimes even less than that. I think it's a very welcome presence. That was always something you wanted to do from the get-go, was to keep that as like the other instrument?
Yeah, definitely. Going back to like, I guess Hawkwind partly, like they always had like the cool electronic stuff and keys in there. And then, you know, same thing with Pink Floyd or the Beatles. And my favorite Black Sabbath record is Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, which has, keys all over. It's got Rick Wakeman, like kills it on that record. And so, you know, it was definitely a voice I thought would be cool to add. And a texture I thought would be cool to add.
He did a lot of research about different types of things, different synths, different keyboards, different types of things. And we really came up with like a really pretty comfortable setup for now. It's really fun.
Yeah. It pretty much what you hear on the album, she can do live. So that took a lot of like planning, and I don't know much about like gear, especially non-bass gear. So yeah, I had to like learn a lot to figure out how to have it so it was a convenient little setup that would work everywhere and all of that.
I love it. I love that old classic synth sound. Like when I heard that the first time, I was like, ooh, this is fun. I'm enjoying this. This has got some personality to it.
Thank you. Awesome. That's exactly what we're going for.
Yeah, it's like, it adds, well, at different times it adds different stuff. Sometimes it can just be a little bit of extra candy for the ears, and then sometimes like it can jump on top of the freak out and take it to another level, and then sometimes it can be kind of like sort of a mellow thing that just adds to the harmony. So it's really versatile, and it's cool that she can do that and sing at the same time.
Yeah, and I think it really like meshes well, because, you know, sometimes keyboard players get a little out of control with, you know, it's like, you know, like, as you said, like Rick Wakeman or who's the other guy? Keith Emerson.
Yeah, exactly. And I do like that stuff. But like, I know what you mean. In like a normal rock setting, it can be way over the top or whatever. Like, I like Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, but you definitely have to be in the mood for that.
We try to be tasteful.
Well, I think it works very well.
Thank you.
Last year you put out, it was funny. I was talking about you guys with the buddy on the show, and like, I wouldn't lie if we definitely got tongue tied over the name of your album last year. So
it's tough, and it got misspelled on some flyers. And I think like one of the layouts for the record, maybe it wasn't spelled right. And like, even I, who am I'm the jackass who thought it would be a good idea, like misspelled it in some things we were doing. It's a weird word.
So the word in question being remythologizer. It's not really that hard if you say it in a calm manner, but I'm sure most people are probably like speed reading and whatnot. So it's a little bit shorter than your debut Sci-Fi Fantasy. Were you scaling back a little bit?
All right. So couple things there. The first record is actually longer than what you can fit on a vinyl, which is why the CD had a bonus track.
Ah,
we couldn't fit it on vinyl. So this time, trying to be super clever, we were like, all right, so let's aim for exactly 42 minutes of music. This is perfect. We know that's what the medium can hold. Let's get exactly that amount of time. As we're, you know, going into record, our guitarist Ben left the band. He didn't like touring. We'll leave it at that. We got him to still help us on the record, which was cool of him to still do that. But there was a song he wrote, and, you know, since he was going to not be with us anymore, it kind of, I don't know, didn't seem right to have it and, like, present it as ours. So that didn't make it on there. And like I said, we started with exactly 42 minutes of music, minus one song. That's what you get. Interestingly, like, you know, everybody really digs the whole retro vibe and everything. But if you go back and listen to a bunch of the records, like the LPs from the 70s, you know, some of those are maxing out at like 39, 40 minutes. So it was unintentional, but I thought it was kind of cool. It's like, I think the same amount of time as Eliminator by ZZ Top.
Yeah, I mean, it flows nice. I felt like it was a little more, I don't know, I want to say like a little more pop than Sci-Fi Fantasy was. A little bit more like, I don't want to say like better songwriting, but more maybe like traditional structures or something like that.
Yeah, no, that's a really good observation. It's way more intentional writing. Like the first one, you know, everybody's still kind of feeling each other out. So the songs sound like jams because that's a lot of what was going on. You know, we like, they were repeatable jams. Like we all knew where the verse and the chorus were, but I think for this next one, you know, everybody was more comfortable together. Everybody knew what the other members could do. And so, yeah, you're like going into it. You're like, all right, here's a verse, here's a chorus, here's a bridge, slap an intro on it. And like, not to say it's like more methodical, but like everybody's a little more comfortable. Like it's a little more of a fluid process. So yeah, I think a little more rock and roll like structure, like you said.
One of the tracks that I actually think is pretty cool that you guys have done, it was on the first record, and I feel like you've probably talked about it before, was the track All Hallows Eve. And I'm a little bit of a sucker for like some, you know, remix stuff there. And I like that you grabbed it, seemed kind of not public access. What's the word? Like in the public domain kind of style and whatever, but you're pulling out the quotes from like, you know, uptight Christians about Halloween, which I just thought it was really charming. Like, where did you come up with that idea?
That is actually a super cool story. I was on the way to, it was when I was in school, and we were on a trip in Tennessee. And they have in truck stops there, like little baskets with tapes made by different ministries. Like, and that, you know, so like you and your wife put your sermon on the tape and you put it in there. And I the assumption is, I guess, truckers will listen to them. And so you're saving truckers as they like, they go in, they get a new sermon, they're listening to you and getting saved or whatever. So, that was the tape. It was like, I forget what the exact title was. It was like All Hallows Eve, like Playground of the Beast or something along those lines. So yeah, it was like an entire side one of the, and maybe side two of this cassette is just this guy and his wife like talking about how evil Halloween is, and it was just like the coolest thing I've ever heard. So yeah, we had to use it.
It was actually kind of excruciating because we had to listen to the entire thing to like pick out the perfect like quote, you know.
Ugh.
Way too long. I was like, ugh, this is awful.
It was literally like both sides, so like we were like making like time notes, you know, like, oh, 5 minutes in he says sexual, like keep that in mind for later, like he's gonna say the word sexual there. It was cool. We actually used that tape. We have another tape on another sermon that I grabbed that we're probably hopefully gonna find a use for at some point.
I dug the shit out of that. That is actually a really funny story too. I like that as a like a fun little origin to it. In terms of singing, Sarah, do you have vocal influences?
Yes, definitely. Aretha Franklin was definitely like a major person. And then Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries was was a big deal to me. Like, I think she was like the first, their CD was like the first CD I ever got, and it was like the coolest thing ever, and I would like listen to it over and over and over and try to replicate her voice. And Beth Gibbons from Portishead is a really big influence too.
I love Portishead.
Me too. It's so good. They're so good.
I think I might have to give them a listen. I haven't listened to them in a while.
Yes, it's always worth it.
And it's always interesting to me. Like, I like finding out what people in bands listen to, because a lot of the times I'm surprised when people like some of the stuff that artists say they're listening to just kind of like contrasts against what they play. So what are you two listening to right now that you're loving?
Let's see what we got over here. Those two recent LPs I'm looking at that are looking back at me, we've got Motorhead's No Sleep Till Hammersmith and The Fleshland by Coffins. Over next to that, we got some Rick James. So yeah, I mean, we like a lot of everything. I guess when I'm listening to stuff a lot, I'll not listen to Doom, just because, you know, you hear it at practice and at all your shows all the time, which is, it's good and I like it, but then, you know, you kind of want to listen to something else every now and again. So I'm really into like 70s Miles Davis, all the weird funky stuff, and then Herbie Hancock in the same way.
It's cool that you said Coffins. I'm a recent Coffins convert, and they're so fucking good.
They're really, really good. Their record always tricks me, because it's an LP, it's a double LP, but it's a 45, and I never think it's going to be a 45, because it's, you know, it's a full size record, and so I always put it on, and it's like this crazy noise, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's the Coffins record. You gotta switch that to 45.
And you, Sarah?
In my car right now, I'm listening to Anderson .Paak. His album Oxnard. I really love him. He's amazing, and I really like his style and everything. He's hilarious, and it's great. I like to also like just kind of listen to different genres and switch it up, because even though I do love heavy music and like just kind of, I can dig on that forever too. I just love to switch it up because I get bored easily, I guess.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I love this genre to death, but I like to keep my, you know, horizons open. So I've actually been like dipping into a lot of like old school death metal, and then but I try to always
Bolt Thrower.
Well, Bolt Thrower I've liked for a while, because people keep talking about Bolt Thrower, because they're like, they're not around right now, and they broke up like not really that long ago. But yeah, everyone really liked them, and they didn't really seem to have like a scandal around them. They just sort of were like, we're just done.
Yeah, no, they're basically the perfect band. They have that record, The Fourth Crusade. Which like it's really weird and nerdy, but yeah, that got me really into learning about the Fourth Crusade, and I was like listening to that record while I was reading a book about the Fourth Crusade. There was this whole like immersive multimedia experience, like edutainment or whatever. Yeah, no, I love them. Who else? I guess now I'm interviewing you. What other old school death metal are you listening to?
Well, like Obituary is one that when I was in college, I guess death metal was pretty hot, but I wasn't really into it, because it was kind of like, it was a little more like metalcore. Like it was just like really fast, and I didn't really appreciate like harsh vocals at the time. But yeah, now that like that sort of like older style of death metal is coming back, like I just dipped into it. So like Obituary, Immolation, Carcass, you know, all the classics. Yeah. So, and like I haven't even gotten into like Morbid Angel yet. So like these are all bands that I really didn't really check out too much, but and currently like I love like Gatecreeper is one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, they're really good. Yeah, it's funny. Obituary, like I liked them when I was younger, but like they were like kind of the band that like the really scary kids liked, like back in the 90s, like the kids that didn't wear sleeves to school and stuff like that. But yeah, you said like the harsh vocals turned you off on the other stuff. I agree. Like for some reason, the classic death metal vocals, even though they're like aggressive, they're never harsh sounding to my ears. It's like still like kind of a pleasant sound or whatever.
Yeah, it's hard to describe. Possessed is another one. Like the Possessed record that came out last year was amazing. Like it was so good and really impressive that dude like got the band back together after he was like shot and now is in like a wheelchair.
Yeah, crazy.
But yeah, there's like and like Possessed was like a little bit more black metal, I guess, like in vocal delivery. But like yeah, like those old bit. There's something like. It's weird. There's something sort of like melodic about hearing that. I don't really don't want to do like my death metal voice, but there's something like kind of nice or not even nice, but just the way it flows. It's almost like the vocals are they run alongside like a bass line or something like that. Yeah. So it all just kind of like goes well together.
Yeah, I don't know. It was, I guess not. That I know anything technical, but yeah, it seems like it was mixed differently, like so that it's less abrasive and kind of warmer, as opposed to like yeah, all that core stuff that you're talking about, which it all just sounds like kind of like an ice pick in my face.
Yeah, I never got into metalcore. It was really big when I was in college, and then I was really into like prog metal, and then yeah. I just everything just like slowed down.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, a fine line because that prog metal stuff and those metalcore, I don't know, like, I guess because they both use really weird drumming and signatures, like, so you think that it's going to be, like, a cool prog band, and then all of a sudden, like, you're like, wait a minute, I think I've been tricked.
Yeah, my girlfriend is always just like, if I want to listen to jazz, I'll just not listen to jazz.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Which I always thought was, like, pretty funny.
Yeah, definitely.
No, it's good.
Yeah, if you don't want that sound, you definitely don't want that sound.
Mm-mm.
Those are the bands that I enjoy, that I've been enjoying in my kind of exploration of death metal. And then, like, you know, beyond that, I always am on, I'm always on the lookout for, like, a good, you know, a good doom band. But, like, I try to keep up with other stuff. And, like, you know, like, you know, I like some punk bands. Like, I love this band Pup. They're really good. I'm just looking over here. Actually, it's kind of an older band that I found out it was Wolf Brigade. I've been really on them lately.
Yeah, yeah.
They're really good. I don't really have too much else to run by you guys. Is there anything that you'd like to plug?
It's sort of a transitional time. I mean, we'll have more news soon. Like, we're planning on putting something out in 2021.
Yeah, we're hoping to record this summer, hopefully.
Yeah, the next full length we'll do hopefully this summer.
Cool. This is actually a question we had on the episode where we were talking about your guys. There's two Bandcamp pages that are out there for Book of Worms. So just curious as to which one is the preferred one.
Okay, well, so our full releases are on the Twin Earth Bandcamp. And that's Book of Worms RVA.bandcamp.com. And then that was what our label started or whatever. And then when we first started out, we put a demo out on Bandcamp. And let's see, I believe we released a single or two that way too. So I guess it's just kind of like between the two of them, they're sort of, we'll eventually hopefully combine them to one place at some point, but for now I guess we're like still Twin Earth still has the right to sci-fi fantasy and the current album, so we'll wait until that runs out
and that before we would consolidate it onto our own.
Cool. So as they said, you can find them at both of those band camps. You guys are on social media, right? Like Instagram and all that?
Yes. Yeah. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all of that. Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having us and asking us these awesome questions.
Oh, no, my pleasure. Thank you for coming on. I love this is why I do it. I love chatting with y'all and finding out about you, and hopefully hopefully not every single show is, you know, canceled or postponed or whatever. And hopefully, you know, you guys get to get out of Richmond, and hopefully we cross paths in the future. I'd love to, see you at a show coming up.
That would be awesome. Yeah, that would be really cool.
Definitely say hi.
Hell yeah.
Hopefully, like you said, this will all, you know, not be as bad as it could be, and everybody will be okay.
Yeah. Well, we'll just, you know, keep plugging along, and, you know, for all everyone out there listening, you know, if shows are getting canceled, the best thing you can do to support artists and musicians is to buy their merch. So if you've been thinking about buying a 45 or, you know, a demo tape or a t-shirt or anything, support your local bands, support the bands you love, buy their merch. That's how they're gonna survive.
That's true.
Sarah and Jay, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dylan. Yeah,
anytime. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And that will do it for this chapter of the diary. Welcome, fanatics. This is the latest. Did you think you dropped something?
Hold on one second. That wasn't a good phone perch. All right. We're good.